Hey everybody, I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. This is 2026 in the middle of January and our first podcast of the year. I'm so excited about that, and also to let you know that V is celebrating 18 years in business, bringing stories with heart and soul. So excited to introduce you to my guest, Walt Chancy and Cameron Hughes. Walt, welcome to the podcast.
Thank
and Cameron, you as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know we were talking about doing this last year, and I'm glad that you're the first guest of 2026, starting the new year off right.
All right.
So we are sitting in the most gorgeous home in the acclaimed, critically acclaimed architecture mecca, Alice Beach on 30A. And this is your home that you reside in with your wife, Sandy, and you. And you finished this a couple of years ago, and this was on the cover of our February issue.
Yes.
In 2025. Beautiful. That's one of a lot of our team's favorite cover as well. I say that, and then the team usually says, yeah, but you said that about the cover like three issues ago or four. I go, they're all my favorite, but not really. I mean, it really was a beautiful, clean, striking cover. And then you graced the cover again in August this year. So we're so happy to be able to feature your amazing work. Since we're here and we're sitting here in this beautiful home, tell us a little bit about the genesis of this and how you and your wife, I think we're going to maybe invest in this as a spec home, and then you fell in love with it and you decided to make this your own home.
Right. Well, as you know a bit, we've been here for a long time, but the engagement in Alice Beach happened at COVID. At the point that we did not have a home on 30A, which we've always had one, we're in between. Mm-hmm. COVID kind of brought us back up looking around, and we decided to settle in Alice Beach. So we bought a house first, right during COVID, as a getaway, as most people did.
Yeah.
And from that, speaking with Cameron, I said, we need to get involved in Alice. We hadn't been. I'd had Focus Architecture in the Bahamas and out west and other places, and wanted to come back home to my roots. Mm-hmm. Bought that place and immediately started working here and getting in. And this was one of the first two homes that we designed. We got the blocks out of the ground and was headed up with it. And my wife, Sandy, is in typical fashion, goes, I want that one. We're going to keep it. Yeah. So we were probably a little further along, but we ended up keeping it as our home here, as our base away from Tampa. And we have enjoyed living here for the past 3 years with our friends and partners and doing all the work we're doing Alice now.
How, what kind of experience is it to design your own home than for a customer, a client? Was it liberating?
My wife.
Okay, so it was harder. maybe had to be more perfectionist because you were living here?
Yes, and we kept in mind that this home, we weren't sure this is our last home, and we're still not. As we're designing and developing homes here in Alice, we're not sure which one will be our final stop. So this was thought to be one we wanted, but not maybe the final home yet. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that works out.
Right.
But we've really settled in and we love this house a lot.
Oh, yeah. So great. So how many homes have you designed in Alice to date?
Well, since COVID in 2020, we're on about to start 28 or 29 somewhere.
Impressive.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So we've had a good 5-year run.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very, very good. Yeah. So 30A has been good to you, and you've been good to 30A with your thumbprint all over the area. And I'll just start out by saying that you founded the company. You're the founding partner with your wife. And then Cameron, you've lived here and you're a partner running the 30A office.
That's right.
Okay.
So, I was approaching the end of school, and my wife and I, we were married throughout college, and we're casting about where do we want to start a career. And we had been, like Walt, we had both been coming down since we were young, 5 years old. I was walking on a beach over in Panama City Beach. Mm-hmm. And we decided we'd go down the beach, see what was going on, set up an interview for Walt in spring break of my last year of school. Interviewed, and that afternoon we had come to an agreement.
Wow.
And then the following May, I graduated, and 3 days later, we'd moved down, and I was in the office.
Amazing.
working on the beach.
It's a great testament to the company to have a long-term employee and vice versa.
We've been
good relationship.
To have
26 years ago.
Yeah, that is so great.
Fortunately, not only Cameron, but several partners and very long-term. So we're a family-oriented business first. Yes. We like to have fun, but we take our work serious as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I asked you this before we started rolling, but I'll ask again. Did you foresee when you first opened the doors here on 38, this question is for both of you, mm-hmm. what would become of our little hamlet here?
It's, and thinking about that, it's a little bit of yes and a little bit of no.
Okay.
I thought there would be a good business for here. So when Sandra and I moved from here to Tampa to really set up our home life, I never let go of the business here. I had an office here immediately, it really never left. But knowing that we in search of larger cities and opportunities, we knew that there was a future here that we never wanted to leave behind. So it has been, we never left and came back. Mm-hmm. We've just had it as our second home, mm-hmm. sometime our first home, mm-hmm. for all of these years.
Right. And I'll let everybody know that's watching and listening too that you have another location in Tampa, and that was your first location. You've seen a lot of changes there, as you were telling me, seemingly all good for your business there,
right,
as well.
Yes.
And that's changed for the better, just like we have, and continue to flourish and grow. And that's impressive as well. I also love that you're very diversified in what you're bringing out of the ground too, with your commercial private residences, but also what you're doing in the hospitality industry, mm-hmm. As well as the wellness or retirement communities.
Mm-hmm. Senior living has been
a
big part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Greenway Station, bravo to you.
Thank you.
I think that
Great job.
Amazing. Yeah. I was so happy to see that come out of the ground. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you have heard of this, and I'm sure you probably have thought of it, and maybe you did this on purpose, but Heritage Dunes is that private gated community right across the street. Mm-hmm. And, they were, I don't want to use the word floundering, but they weren't like, a hot ticket item like a New Urbanism, Alice Beach or whatever. And when you built that and did it so well, it almost made Heritage Dunes have like a New Urbanism mm-hmm. connection to it, because you were able to walk across the street. And it did a lot for Heritage Dunes.
That's great. That's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah. I mean, like,
it's good to know.
Game changer. Just the whole, and then Clay, it was done so well. It wasn't commercial. It was appropriately designed, and your tenant mix, I don't know if you all did the tenant mix too. Really, really great. And I didn't know you had the whole enchilada, and you also designed the hotel, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Which is like so impressive. How do you do that type of scale of a project in other places as well, or is that something that you just got your hands into here?
No, that's for many years before COVID, we were doing projects of that scale and much bigger. So first of all, I'm an owner. We designed, developed, and owned Greenway Station.
Okay.
With Ricky Rookus,
yep.
who a local, and
yep.
a lot of people know him from here. And then St. Joe is our partner in the hotel.
Okay.
So we're roughly 50-50 in the hotel, yep. and then Ricky and I and our partner own all the retail there. So that was an envision from 10 years ago. Originally purchased that property thinking it would be another small residential community, okay. but we knew there was a greater need.
Yeah.
It's kind of known as Midgrove. It got named as Greenway Station, uh-huh. but kind of in the middle of Seagrove, there was a need to create some retail, restaurant, and the hotel there, which may be the last hotel we ever see on 38 because of zoning. And so it was quite an entitlement process. But because of the way we did it, we were embraced by the neighbors and the community and have proven ourselves to be an asset instead of, something that most people did not think they wanted on 38.
I agree. I mean,
right.
it was really
I know that the community had a lot of hesitation initially with a project of that scale. And our approach was we need to approach the project with a sensitivity to the scale of 30A, the context of 30A, the neighbors, to get everyone's buy-in into the project and appreciation for the project.
You can tell. You know, you really can. It was so well done.
Well, I feel like when we had our first public presentation and we had renderings on the boards, and a lot of people, a lot of the community came out, and I think with the mindset, the oppositional mindset, and we had the board set up in the lobby of the courthouse, and people came through and they saw the boards, saw what we were proposing, saw the design language, the scale, and a lot of people never made it into the boardroom to discuss it because they were very pleased with what they received. It was very appropriate, and they were happy.
And we'd just come on the heels of the, I believe it's a Hampton Inn next to the Baptist Church on the other side that got turned down with huge opposition. It was a, you know, a branded hotel that was going to come on to 38. We're doing almost the same size. We have 85 rooms there. I think they were doing 95. And the way we did it got support where they got basically run out of town because they didn't, out-of-towners not understanding the context and scale of 38.
Well, I'm really happy that it ended up that way because that would have changed a lot on 38 if Hampton was able to go in. I mean, big time. It's really, really well done. So impressed. And congratulations, too. I think, it, you know, developers kind of hold the key, even some in some cases more than an architect, about how much clout you have to affect change. And so the fact that you sort of grew and diversified who you were truly able to be a placemaker and control that because you were helming the development of it. I think that's an amazing feather in your cap, and I hope you keep doing more because you obviously can be trusted to like make great places. And that is what I think like the whole world needs more and more of, people that actually care about the spaces and what they're bringing to the community with that, instead of just the financial aspect of it, which of course everyone needs to make money. But if you don't lead with like leaving a legacy behind of something that you're creating, like really what's the point? It's not benefiting the community. It might benefit the company for a minute or two, but not the community.
On another note, we're currently working with Ricky Rookus on a development at Point Washington. Working name is Tucker Bayou right now. That has been very prominent in the news and in the community. We had the ability to do a large number of units, condominiums, multi-story, mixed use, and we ended up doing a small, very local 47-unit lot.
When you say units, like
lots.
Single family,
small scale, that fits in with the Point Washington. It follows the studies that the Point Washington neighborhood had put together that was enacted and adapted by the county, but then shot down by the state due to the fact that they could not enact any more stringent laws after COVID and some of the hurricanes that came, when the state said no local shall enact any more stringent laws without this a longer process. But we came back and followed that anyway. We followed what the neighbors wanted. And we've gotten great support. That project is moving through and will be under construction soon. And I think it's going to be another one that we're going to be proud of, because as a developer, you got to find a way to make it financially feasible. But you also have to get it entitled and do the right thing. So I think it's very similar to Greenway Station in a just a straight residential sense of what we're doing there. So we're proud of it.
Where is the piece of property? So I get context.
So it's just behind the Methodist Church.
On the right.
And on Dog Hobble Road.
There's a lot of. So what is the land track again? How many acres did you say?
We have
approximately
20.
It's 22 acres.
And when will they come to market?
We'll should be under construction in about 90 days or so.
Exciting. Everybody go check it out. The latest and greatest. I'm so glad you're doing that, because Point Washington to me is like sacred, hallowed ground.
It really is.
Like if someone came in and messed that up, then they should get in a lot of trouble.
We've walked the parcel multiple times, just
saving every
looking
tree.
These are precious that we have to work around. We cannot get rid of them. Really seeking to nestle the neighborhood within the existing trees more so than bring the neighborhood in and let the trees grow back.
It won't be a clear cut like a lot of.
Yeah, we won't name names, but I know exactly who you're talking about. So is this the project that I heard about a couple months ago that will also have like a little, like a Modica Market type of, no.
No, we have no commercial.
No commercial.
All residential,
okay. All right, well, that's exciting. And so we'll like round back in a big way to all of your architecture projects with your residences here, Tampa and elsewhere. But while we're sort of on like the big picture of like the diversification of your organization, let's talk about the retirement community segment that you, how long ago was that when you
bought it? So I started designing senior living projects 25, 30 years ago. A couple of residential companies out of, one in particular out of Tucson, the Watermark Companies, who is now our partner and owner over at the Watersound Fountains Origins, where we're also partner with St. Joe. That's the big building behind Publix that everybody knows about, a big building behind Publix, but it's a 147 unit independent living community that's just offers a wonderful, so it's almost like retiring in a resort. It has all,
because you can walk to all the shops and restaurants.
Swimming pools of fabulous and fabulous food there that they have, the amenities of providing transportation, assistant with daily needs of getting people to and from appointments, and or if there is some care that needs to be brought in, could be brought in for those that are aging. But it's for mostly it's an active adult type community, we're on our eighth build of that size, and we're just about to break ground on a project down just north of Lakewood Ranch, Sarasota, Bradenton area.
Same.
It's similar. This one would be an Arbor company. A different operator. Those two operators we use pretty typical, and this one will be right at 200 units, and it is an $86 million build that we're starting. We're just breaking ground on that one now, and in between we've done seven others, from mostly in the Tampa Bay, Orlando, and Marco Island. We just opened one that's just been very successful. We're been open for 8 months and we're already at 95% capacity, which is really unheard of.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, the one here, the Water Sound Fountain,
that's correct.
People can just walk to the Sacred Heart doctor's offices too, right?
It's right there across.
Is an unbelievable location. And for context, in case people don't exactly know, obviously it's behind Publix, like you said, but that's at the mouth of the road where St. Joe put the huge art park in, right?
Yes.
Okay, which is only like 2-3 miles down the road or something like that. And that's amazing as well, which I don't think the general public actually knows that that is there right now. They'll find out, and I know it's very new, but you know, that is about as tricked out as you could possibly get.
It's going to be fabulous. The Terrell sculpture there is one of a kind. It's been an incredible. We've been fortunate. My wife Sandra has just been asked to serve on the committees with the Arts Alliance. She's also on the board of the Tampa Museum of Art. We're big into supporting the arts and the museum. We were just served as chairs of the largest event for Tampa Museum that was put on. We raised over $1 million worth of charity funds, and that was in conjunction with Alice Beach. We actually partnered with Alice and had two major fundraising houses, our house and another house. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, A Citation jet flies eight people that won the first up for a week stay here.
Really?
Private chefs, dinners at Oku, Songwriter Festival, VIP tickets, stay in the home. And it's just been a great collaboration with Alice Beach. And we've done this. It's our second big collaboration with them there. And of course, we're a big sponsor of all the events here. We're sponsoring a stage at the Songwriters
Where is that? What stage?
We're doing the Fonville.
Good.
So we want to be local for that. We sponsor Bourbon Butts and Beer this year again at Wine Festival. You know, the Rosé and Croquet last year, Digital Graffiti year before last. So we're involved in a lot of that type of thing. That's got us into the arts, and now being connected with the CAA here is really rewarding
right.
for us.
Well, I remember seeing pictures on social with you and your wife, and then Angelini, and I think a few of the other
Diana and Ann came to Tampa and represented.
Yeah, it looks so
for that. It was a great
good.
Event.
It looked like a beautiful evening, and that's great that you're spreading the gospel of Alice down to Tampa, right?
We're one of the few that's trying to bring the South north.
Right.
Everybody's reaching north to bring them south, but we're on the fight of getting people to come north to
that's
the
awesome.
Beaches here.
So great. With all you have going on, which is even more than I realized, and I did actually research, and this is like a bigger company than I understood, really. How many people do you have?
So we employ just right at 30, and
okay.
it's... At one time, let's say pre-Great Recession, mm-hmm. we grew to 60, almost 70 people. And I realized that I became a manager and not a doer. And so after the recession kind of slowed things down and slowed us down and bruised us a little bit, didn't kill us. And that was really when we got into developing senior living, more so with we were doing more condominiums and things mm-hmm. that were more volatile to markets and things like that. So it kind of put us in our place. And since then, we figured we still need to grow. We're growing slowly because you can only get better by adding good people
mm-hmm.
and people that are smarter than you and better than you. And we want that. So we're growing slow. We've taken on some new partnerships over the last couple of years. So growing the firm, but don't want to do it too fast. So
mm-hmm.
we're about 30 all in all in this architecture and interior design. And our development company is growing. My daughter's come on full time. Ricky Rookus is a partner where we partner in most all of our developments together and have another couple of employees there. So that's where.
And then you said your son also?
My son's just graduating USC this May in urban planning.
Okay.
And he was just hired by Kettler Development, a large company out of D.C., but to work in Tampa. I made sure that my kids work for someone else and before they come and work with us, if he decides to in the future.
But yeah, we'll that's see. Fun.
Yeah.
Family business can be very, very fun and rewarding,
it
I
is.
Think. Unless it isn't.
But it is.
I think most people can figure it out. What was, like, two things, your most challenging project that you ever worked on, and what was your best project to date that you've ever worked on?
Oh, wow. Let's see. I'd say best is, it depends on what you say best. I think Alice Beach is best.
That you had the most fun doing.
We had the most fun at Alice Beach.
Most challenging at Alice Beach too.
Yes.
They're fun. The design is challenging. The complexity of the houses are very challenging. So in a lot of ways, the Alice Beach projects are hit both categories, mm-hmm. fun and challenging.
Yeah, so in covering Alice Beach for, many years with the magazine and learning, from a layman's vantage point, from my point of view, but I guess the construction is like unrivaled, right? And mm-hmm. the criteria for like making like the most solid home you could possibly make, and you have to adhere to that. But it's also really hard to like build such
It
a
is.
Home too, right?
It is.
And that seems very hard to do.
The hardest thing is small labor supplies. If you look at all the construction around here right now, which, my God, right now in Alice Beach, it's just everything is going everywhere. And you're looking at a smaller community and smaller surrounding community of subcontractors and workers that can do the work. And if you look at the quality, then everybody is fighting for the same subs and similar schedules. And that's probably the most challenging. And to get all these houses being built at the time that Alice Beach is wanting tour, I think they're on the downhill side, let's say, to start looking at build outs and how that schedule works within the next 5 years or plus. And it's challenging to find enough good workers at the right time that we're all not fighting over and hurting each other's projects.
You know what amazes me about Alice? Because so much has come out of the ground in, maybe the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's like even 2 years, like there's so much coming out. It still works, but it's definitely changing the landscape and what it feels like from, let's say, 10 years ago. But what blows my mind is that there's still like 35% to four, I think I'm correct with this number, or 40% left to continue to build here too. Like,
yeah, we're really only half built out in a way, just a little over. But there, a lot of the build out from here forward will be Alice Beach construction. It will be their condominiums, townhouses, and their homes. As of, and I think I've got this number, I believe there's 43 private lots, custom lots, to be released, and that's all that's left.
Okay.
So that's, if you look
how
at
how many did you say?
43, I believe.
43,
is the correct
okay.
number. That is left to be released. That are not, there's less than 10 for sale, maybe a dozen of, and a developer's release, maybe a half a dozen to 10 that have not sold with the 43. So if you're going to buy a lot, build your own home, as those releases come, there's just not going to be as much to choose from as there has been, of course.
Right. So where, what part of the world are you seeing like emerging growth, like on all your travels that you're going to? I mean, obviously we're in the thick of things here, but where else are you seeing like, oh, this might be something that is emerging like this did like 20, 30 years ago?
Well, that's, we're all looking, as talking to some builder partners today, like, where's the next Alice Beach? Where do we go? Us architects here at Alice Beach, from Mary Ann to others, you know, think about where our future is.
Right.
And I feel like I have no retirement in sight. I would like to find the next one. And, you know, they're looking at, I know, even speaking of Mary Ann, is doing some projects in Portugal, and there's some expansion European-wise. We did a good bit, have done a good bit of work in the Bahamas, and there's still opportunities there that we're working on. Mm-hmm. We have one house about to start soon again down there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's opportunity, and we're kind of looking for the next one also.
Yeah.
Tampa is really going great guns, and there's a great deal of opportunity, especially for our larger work.
That's good.
I don't do as many speculative type developments for single family in Tampa, and it's for the most part because I've been here doing it. It's just it's rewarding, it's fun, we know it works, we have the formula really well. So Tampa, we're looking at doing another senior living there, and some attainable apartments. We've been interested in affordable housing, trying to help figure that out. We're working with some really big developers there to partner with on some stuff in Ybor City, where our office is, and look forward to working on more development there. And here, you know, what's going to happen here is, you think about it, with all the homes that are being built out, the surrounding community, the growth of retail, of restaurants, of doctor's offices and dentists, and all the services needs are going to be needed. And we know that there's some things that we love about Panama City and Destin, and things that we don't like about that here in Walton County, but we have to have enough growth for those services and those needs to come in and be built here.
Right.
So we believe we have a great future just outside still, of, in addition to single family, still here for the next decade for sure.
Yeah, we've all seen this area grow and grow in more permanent population as we transition away from more seasonal to more permanent. And when you have the permanent population, you have to fill the needs of that population.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, you know, I think all of Walton County was lagging behind the day-to-day needs that a permanent population would use. And we would all go to Panama City Beach or go to Destin to kind of get what we needed. And that's the next big area of growth, I feel like, that vacuum will begin to get filled.
A performing arts center is still something that is so needed here.
So as my son, he's the marketing manager at Elmer Coast Theater Company, and I know
he's
that,
a great guy.
I like him.
Yeah, of course.
I like him.
And they're actually working trying to figure out how to expand, because they see that need here.
I know they've talked about, like, Keith Howard at Crim Boulevard. He talked about that like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know. But it really does, you know, and I think that our community is maturing to a level. And then that Emerald Coast Theater, you know, that your son is the market, I think they are doing
an
incredible job.
It's a hidden gem.
It is.
And it's
like Symphonia and Des. I mean, there are a lot of organizations that are doing well, but they can only, it's almost like they're bumping their head up against a wall right now, that to some degree they can't grow any further unless this Performing Arts Center is
here. If you look at it, because of the vacation level versus full-time people, if we go back to Tampa, we're usually supporting the arts and the communities in our hometowns. If we're those are able to be donors or to be able to fundraise for these, it's kind of hard to come to where you vacation and give like you would give
in a hometown,
or commit your time if that's what you're committing. Mm-hmm. It's much harder mm-hmm. in this market mm-hmm. because of the full-time population. Mm-hmm. And although we have a lot of wealth, most of that wealth is part-time. Mm-hmm. And so it makes it tough for mm-hmm. fundraising of these things yeah. and supporting the arts.
Well, I know years and years ago, Robert Davis with Seaside was championing that with St. Joe and some other people. And then like that just fell through the weeds, you know, basically. But it's been something that's been talked about for a while. But I think it's probably, you know, maybe becoming something that might be more possible. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, it's just someone has to donate like some things, land and a few other things like that. But I think it's going to happen probably. If enough people get
happen.
Behind it,
it'll happen.
They will. I think it's time is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah.
This has been talked about in circles that I've been in rooms for 20 years. And I actually like believed it 20 years ago. And like 5 years later, I'm like, where is this performing arts? And I don't know what happened. And then, you know, you just kind of shelf the idea, like maybe it's never going to happen. But I actually do think it's like rounding the corner.
Yeah, we all hope so.
Yeah, definitely. Seaside Institute, have you participated? I think I reached out to you a couple of years ago about that. But have you been to some of the prize weekends? Because if you're in town, I'd love to have you be my guest at Seaside Prize the first week of February.
Thank you. We were interested in that. I know Cameron's going to attend, but I've already committed to be out.
Well, that's good.
Traveling.
I'm sorry you'll be there. But because Marion and Eric both are recipients, and it's like a really big deal.
We'd love to be there to support them. We just treasure their knowledge, what they brought and what they've created. They are the reason why we are here. We owe it all to them. And
They're amazing. Of course, what they've done, too. Yeah. I mean, all of you together collectively. What you've done mm-hmm. is that's quite a good team that you all had put together.
We're just proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, really amazing. Well, I'm glad you're going to be there too. I think it's going to be really good.
I'll be there.
The Votes are basically hosting their own opening event on Thursday night. Did you see that?
I got it. We both got it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That's going to be great. And the whole weekend. And I'm a big fan of Seaside because I moved here 34 years ago from New England to be the first marketing director of Seaside, a long, long time ago. And so it's kind of in my blood to still love and care about Seaside, obviously, because it changed the trajectory of my life. And I opened my marketing company like a year or two after that, and then, you know, then the magazine and whatnot. So I have very fond thoughts about, what they did in basically, you know, champion, you know, this movement, you know, here too. And, you know, just how many people joined yourself, the Votes, all so many architects, Alice, the Stevens family, what they did in creating this place, which is, in my opinion, and I think it's other people share it as well, like the crowning jewel of new urbanism in our area. Mm-hmm. Right. Quite magnificent. Yeah. So tell me what it was like. I had read that, you know, you and Sandy had been interviewed, and actually Jordan Staggs, our editor who's here, wrote the article last year on telling the story about how you and your wife met at Spinnaker.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I kind of did a head like, oh, it's just so funny to like, you know, think that, when you go back to your roots and then that's how you met and was a love story there. And then tell us the story about then how that happened with your brother and then how you ended up designing Club La Vila.
Yeah. So,
okay.
go back far back. I grew up in Enterprise, just 90 miles up the road. My brother was an architect. He was 17 years older than I. He went to Georgia Tech, graduated, worked from John Portman, then came down and started his own firm with two other gentlemen. And he was one of the original founders of the Spinnaker in 1977. And I came down after high school, graduated, and worked a little down here for him, both in his architectural office and at the Spinnaker as a bar back and floor sweeper. And
that must have been crazy because wouldn't there be like thousands of people?
Oh, it was, it was a pretty crazy time. So I started bartending full time in 78. Mm-hmm. By 79, I knew that I needed to do something different. Uh-huh. And I say different, not change, but in addition. So I decided to go to architectural school. I knew it was time for me to, after a couple of years of bartending, to go. But we came back. I met my wife Sandy in the summer of '80. She had just gotten a job there as a waitress, and I was bartending. We came back, met that night, April 7th, 1980, and have been together ever since.
Wow.
We've been married for 41 of those years.
Congratulations!
And she's followed me to Auburn in interior design right after I just started. Graduated there. We came back here, worked a little bit. It was kind of early, I'll call it a mini recession when we graduated in 84, 85. Came back, tried to work a little bit, and that's when we decided to look for something bigger and better and went to Tampa. But never wanted to lose this. We just wanted to new opportunities. Mm. So that's what we did. We moved to Tampa, started our own firm within about a year of moving there, and really haven't looked back.
Well, that was a good move, obviously.
Yeah. Mm.
Look at where it brought you.
It worked out
smart.
Really well.
That was really, really smart, yeah.
Oh, we were just lucky.
Yeah. No, well.
Thank you. It's a little bit of both.
You got to keep going. That's what I've learned. Yeah. You just have to stay standing.
We're old school. We just work.
You just work until it works.
If you have a problem, you figure it out. You stay up as long as you can.
Yeah.
You know it. You built a business.
Oh, yeah.
And
you work hard.
And you got to create a culture that people believe in you and believe in that work style. And you'll figure you'll get through the rough patches and celebrate the good times.
I after going through my own career, I can see in the last couple of years, how people don't stay the course. That pandemic, that was tough. That gave me a run for my money. Didn't know how we were going to rebound on that one. And then what happened to our area, what happened to me, which had to happen to you all, everybody here, what ended up being super bad for our community being the best thing that could ever happen.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, who saw that coming?
Well, my business went through the Great Recession. We had grown, as I said, to 60, I think we're at 65, 70 people. The Great Recession hits and the bank closes and everything's tumbling.
Yeah.
And I had a few partners at that time went different ways and ended up with just a few of us that hung on. And I think there was maybe we lost some through attrition and other reasons, but we can grow out of this and we just fought through it. That to me was the worst.
Yeah.
And then of course, when COVID hit, I got out the big whiteboard again, as I remember going,
redo.
What are we going to do?
Yeah.
And then it seemed like within months, we're going, our phones
15
ringing.
Houses or
we're
something.
We're doing work,
like
we're working and we've got ideas. And, it was nerve wracking for 6 or 8 months.
Yeah.
But then it turned out to be
the best
a boom
thing
for this area. And it first made a lot of people understand what's important. And having a place like this or being a part of something at its beautiful location brought people down and started buying and building and designing. And we were just
working from home and
people, the
spaces that that people discovered they needed to do the work from home and live where they want to live and still be able to accomplish the work. It really drove the market.
People from California, Chicago, even Palm Beach, even that end of Florida ended up finding us as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot more is going to happen in the future too, as what's going on in some states right now might usher in a new group of people here. So, Florida is good. All right. I didn't even think I was going to ask this question, but I'm very excited and intrigued to see what your answer is. All of a sudden, I know people have been talking about AI for a long time. And I've dismissed it. And then all of a sudden, like maybe in the last 3 or 4 months, I'm like, oh my goodness, like it's really here and it's, you can't like ignore it. What do you think that's going to do to like your business, my business? And I'll just preface it to say, I'm not worried about it, mm-hmm. but I'm just interested to know like what you think about it.
You know, actually my wife Sandy is the one that said, we need to pay more attention to this. And you know, she's right. So matter of fact, just this, in our planning for 2026, our partners have got together and have formed an AI committee.
Oh, good.
We have a couple of our younger recent hires out of college that have a lot more knowledge that are so far ahead of us in the old school of drafting and of the changes of just our computer systems, of Cameron fighting Revit and the things that we did in computers. That will never work. Well, we're old school, but we learn it does. So in my opinion, it will be, if we use it right, one of the best tools we've ever had.
It could
and
be.
It's not there to replace us, but there to assist us and enhance what we do.
Right.
We should be able to do some really incredible things, hopefully through, you know, better, let's talk about life safety issues, better design, better cost, better functionality, mm-hmm. and hopefully better
faster.
Aesthetics and do it faster. So that means, such as go back to the idea of affordability, we should be able to make that closer to a reality through the use of AI.
Mm-hmm.
So we're learning how to embrace it. We don't know how yet. We all are obviously doing the obvious things of ChatGPT helping us write reports and letters and notes and Teams calls where we're way more efficient because of what we're doing now.
Exactly.
But I think the future is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I really think that it'll be a tool. I think it'll be similar to the tool that we've always kind of seen it as through science fiction, you know, going back in the 50s and 60s. It'll be a tool that we draw upon, but it's not in a lot of ways.
It's not going to compete
with the creative aspect. It'll enhance our creativity. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll show us things that we initially didn't think, but we, as a creative person, you recognize that. Mm-hmm. And draw upon that opportunity.
Right. Yeah. Well, you talked about something I wanted to talk about a little bit, and that is the affordability and all that. You know, we had talked about that before we went on camera. So you were telling me, yes, you have a heart for that and you want to do it too, but logistically, there are a lot of roadblocks there.
Yeah. Well, you would just start with the cost of construction, the cost of labor, the cost of insurance here in Florida, and all of those things piled up. The last few years, the availability of debt and equity have been almost impossible for merchant developers like us to get. That's just starting to loosen up. And then the availability of government dollars, and the idea of just giving dollars to developers is a great idea, but it doesn't work. Nobody wants to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. We all want to support affordable housing because we know it supports everything that we do in our life. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to pay taxes to do it. And the programs are just not quite set up. They're a little bit antiquated, so that what I see in affordable housing has been kind of the same way for the last 40 years, that there's subsidies you can get, but the way they're set up, you're still designing a substandard product. It's very hard to manage, and you need to be a specialist at it. And so we as developers and architects of our caliber should be able to come to Walton County and help with the living situation here for our service workers, for our construction workers, for people that need more affordable homes, and I know families and all added to that. But I have not figured it out. I mentioned my son and our group is working on a project now called Urban Neighbors, which is a smaller unit built less expensive. We're looking at doing it through community land trust and bonds and combining some of that. And I think through a combination of philanthropic, possibly, with the government assistance, we're working with the CRA districts and the CLTs, the land trust, that there might be a path to getting one of our first ones off the ground. So we'll see. We're involved in it now. It's really exciting, but it's also very challenging.
Yes, but Yes, keep going though, so that you can show us the way, because yes. It's so needed.
Yeah, it's greatly needed.
It's greatly needed, yeah. Well, do you have any parting words? This is a great conversation, by the way. Very interesting, and thank you for being you and your company and you, because you're making and creating beautiful things, and obviously, as evidenced by everything that you do,
and your
philosophy and ideology is just very impressive.
Thank you.
Any parting words of wisdom to either aspiring architects or developers or just being a great guy?
Well, come to South Walton.
Come to South Walton.
If you're an aspiring architect, a lot of great opportunities here. I never lose sight of how fortunate, the opportunities that we've had here. You know, to my entire career has been built along 30A, from designing my first house in Rosemary Beach out of college to serving as a consulting review architect for watercolor and water sound, to working in Alice Beach all these years later. It is
a blessing.
It's a blessing.
Yeah. And I'd say that growth. Walton County is a very special place. As we're always. We're going to grow. Every most all successful places that has good developments is going to grow, and communities need to embrace change, but change needs to be thoughtful, and purpose driven. And if you're involved and you think about your wonderful home and it's growing, there's too many houses or too much commercial, get involved, but understand that, in my opinion, is try to understand that good growth can be done right and can be a benefit to everybody. And we want to be a part of that. And, we've been here for, let's say, 37 years, and I don't think I've got that many left, but I've still wanted to be here for a long, long time and keep it going.
Yeah, so. Well, congratulations on your 37 years of building this impressive empire that you've built.
Well, thank you.
It's really impressive. Thank you so much for letting us, totally take over your home. I'm sorry. It looks like quite scary, but
this is fine.
We'll get it fixed up. But thanks for being here, and
thanks
for being in the magazine and letting us tell stories about you and showcase your work. Makes the magazine look beautiful.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hope you enjoyed, everybody. Bye bye. Have a good day.